You are listening to Playgirls Sex Pod. I'm Jamie Waxman, back again for another week of fun-filled sex talk. And I'm really excited. I'm not going to do any jambering this week, or jabbering, if that would be the right word, because I have a lot of guests in our very expensive, elegant studios here at PlaygirlTV.com, and we want to get right down to business. So there's this new book out, this fantastic, great, elegantly written new book, and I'm not just saying that because I have a chapter in it, called Naked Ambition. It has been edited by Carly Milne, and it's out on Carol and Graf Publishers. So check it out on Amazon.com. But Amazon.com, I really can't talk today, but I just will continue anyway. And I have three of the contributors here in studio with me, and I'm not including myself because I'm not going to talk about my chapter in the book at all today. And so I want to get right down to it. In studio with me here on PlaygirlTV.com, on Playgirl Sex Pod, I have Carly Milne, I have Stormy, and I have Joy King. And you will get to learn a lot about these ladies in the next number of minutes. This book, Naked Ambition, is a book about women who are transforming, empowering, changing, helping, aiding, whatever word you want to use, the adult entertainment industry. And in light of some recent books that have come out and lots of discussions that have come out on how bad porn is, this book gives a voice to these women, talking about why we've chosen to be in this industry and what we're doing here and why we're here. So, Carly, at Naked Ambition, this is your book. You brought everybody who's in this book together. What was the impetus for writing this book?
Well, it was actually a conglomeration of a meeting of the minds of me and my publisher. I was referred to them by Violet Blue, who's actually one of the contributors in the book. And we started talking, and they basically said to me, you know, we would really like to do something about the women in the adult industry. How would you feel about doing an anthology? And I said, well, yeah, that would work. And I said, but, you know, I don't want to just do, let's round up random porn stars and say, hey, how did you get in and why are you in and blah, blah, boring. I mean, everybody does that. And he said, well, why don't we expand it then and talk about women who are behind the cameras, directors and this and that. And I said, well, what if we also did like publicists and business owners and talked about sex toys and writers in mainstream who are talking about it. And he was like, do you think you can do that? I said, yeah, sure. And pretty much everybody who's in the book are people that I either knew or that I worked with while I was in the industry. So it was all by invitation only, and thankfully everybody said yes.
And how did you get involved in the industry? What were your jobs in the industry?
I I answered an ad in the paper. In 2001, I was unemployed, and I had the opportunity to go and work at Adult Video News or at E! Online, and I thought, nah, I'm going to take the job at AVN and see what happens. So I worked there for a year, and I was an associate editor, and I went to sets and reviewed movies until my eyes fell out and the whole nine yards. And I needed a change of pace because I was getting really drained at AVN. So when I left AVN, a friend of mine in the industry who was a director was working for another company and said, we really need a publicist. Would you be interested? And I had done publicity before, so I said, sure. And then I did publicity for about 3 years before I quit.
What is AVN, just in case people don't know?
Adult Video News is the industry Bible, supposedly. And they review movies and like pretty much every movie that's released. They interview people. They go to sets. It's, you know, usually it's for stores to get an idea of what's out and what's new and what's happening.
So how are women changing pornography?
Oh, God, where to start? I think that just the fact that women are no longer only looked at as being eye candy in front of the camera is a huge part of it. I mean, you know, part of what made me want to include Stormy in the book is the fact that she's the first girl to have a contract that includes writing and directing. And, you know, she writes her own movies, she directs them, and she came to the industry because that was her ambition. That's what she wanted to do. Was make movies of subjects that interested her and appealed to people like her. She had a consumer's eye when she came in. Same thing with Joy. Joy, never in front of the camera, but she really had a knack. She knew how to market this business, and she knew, she really is the woman who made it possible for all these other companies to have publicists, because before that, porn wasn't really publicizing to anybody. And then Joy came along and just changed the rules. So I think they're changing the industry because they're rewriting the rules and they're making up their own rules and they're doing it the way they want to do it. And I think that that's what's helping legitimize the industry. I don't think that it's, you know, so much what people are making as much as it is the people behind it and how they're making it that's changing everything.
Do you still think, though, that porn is essentially a male industry, a male-dominated industry at this point?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just because it's changing doesn't mean there's still not a long way to go. I the more that there's women-owned companies and the more that there's women directors and producers and writers and the whole nine yards, I think it'll continue to change. But it's definitely still male-dominated.
Now, in light of books like Pornified by Pamela Paul and other things coming out, yes, I actually suffered through the whole book. It was kind of interesting. It could have been written in 10 pages. But what would you want people to walk away from when reading Naked Ambition? What kind of things do you want people to get out of this book?
You know, I didn't want to do the book with the idea of let's change everybody's minds, because I don't think you can change everybody's minds. I don't think you should change everybody's minds. All I'm asking is for people to have an open mind after reading these, because I think that there's still a lot of preconceived notions about the people, the type of people that get involved in the industry, and that they're all damaged and they're all, you know, they're not smart enough to do anything else or they have no other options in life. And I want, what I want people to take away from this is that, you know, there are people just like you or I or your next door neighbor who are working in this industry because they choose to and they're passionate about it. And that it while it is an industry that deals with sex, it is a business like any other business.
Have you been able to talk to your family and friends and people who are outside the industry about working in the industry with, and do they have an open mind?
They tend to, yeah. I mean, you know, initially when I started working there, everybody was like, are people having sex on your desk every day? Do you get anything done? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, you know, like, let's put this into perspective. But now they, you know, they love hearing stories about being on set and this, that, and the other thing. But they were ultimately more fascinated about, so you sit in an office with a computer like everybody else and you actually, like, do press releases and stuff? I'm like, yes. It's a job, so.
It's funny because I think, like, for me, the biggest difference is I can put on a porn video or turn on something online that maybe I wouldn't be able to watch at a regular office, but that's the only real difference when it comes to working at a place with sex and a place where, even though everybody has sex, sex is taboo.
Yeah, exactly. I have, like, I click on links now that say not safe for work online and it doesn't bother me, or, you know.
Exactly.
I think the one big change that's happened for me is, you know, everybody emails me or calls me and says, do you know so-and-so? Like, have you hung out with Jenna Jameson? Yeah, actually, she's the godmother of my child. Like, you know, come on.
It's so funny, but I think that would be anything in entertainment. If you're in some sort of on, you know, in front of the camera occupation, even if you're not in front of the camera, mm-hmm. people want to know who you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of who you know, I'm going to just move on for a few minutes. Joy King literally stumbled in this industry too. Maybe not by answering an email ad, but by, it sounds like, answering another type of ad. So Joy King, you've been in this industry on and off for 20 years. How did you get involved in the industry?
Well, I mean, I think sort of by accident. You know, I did answer an ad and it was for more money than where I was working at the time, and I was very young and at the time pregnant, and didn't care that just because the industry was, I mean, this was 1984, 85. I mean, this was a long time ago and it was very taboo back then. And I didn't tell my family for a while. Where I worked, probably a year. Mm. I just said, "Oh, I work in the accounting department of a video company," and that was true because we did do mainstream video too. It was, you know, Strawberry Shortcake and Gumby, and do you remember those Transformers? Yeah, we did all that stuff. So, and Supergirl, do you remember that movie 100 years ago? So it was sort of mainstream at the time. It wasn't just adult. I did end up gravitating towards the adult portion of the company. And when the company was split and divided, I went with the adult for a while. And then I switched back over to the mainstream, and then I went back to adult. But ultimately, the adult is where I felt most comfortable.
Why?
I think people are more real. Mm. I just feel like in the more mainstream side of it, people were very plastic. They weren't really real. I mean, at least when you're working in adult entertainment, people can freely discuss sexuality without it being like so weird. And I think it was just a more comfortable environment.
Now, you are currently, and I might be wrong on your title, because there are so many titles when it comes to Joy King, the Vice President of Special Projects for Wicked Pictures.
Yes.
So what does that mean that you do?
Yeah, I know. And everybody always says that. Well, what do you do? Well, I do a lot of stuff, but nothing that you can really put your finger on as being something specific. I handle sales to a company called Adam and Eve, which is a big mail order company, and it's a very specialized job that I've done for a long time. I read scripts. I view all of our movies for final approval. I make compilations for the company. I sort of oversee that whole thing.
Do outside people send scripts in to like they would for a movie company?
Sure. Everybody thinks they can write an adult script. They have no idea. But a lot of people seem to think that it's something very easy. And Stormy will be able to expand on that. But it's not as easy as people think.
Yeah, and I read that you actually choose some of the titles for compilation. That has to be fun.
We've had some good ones. It is a lot of fun to just sit around and talk about the cliches and then go, oh, that one will work. That one will work. Yeah, just a lot of fun.
Now, in your chapter in Naked Ambition, you say that you grew not to like porn, but to love porn.
True.
And why do you love porn?
Well, I think I like porn just like most people like it, because it's a turn on. I mean, it's sexy to watch two attractive individuals having sex. And who doesn't want to be sexually stimulated by something visually that's beautiful? Now, I work for Wicked. We make really good movies. Not a lot of companies out there make movies at the quality level that we do. So with that being said, it is a different thing for a lot of different companies. We do specialize in more couples-oriented product. The first time I watched a movie, I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. This is all right. So I don't think there is as many people as open-minded as I was walking in the door. And once I did see it, I really did like it. And once I really got more involved in the industry, I did just grow to love it.
And you said Wicked is different. And I agree, completely different than a lot of what's out there in the industry. Yeah. And that it's geared more towards couples, like Playgirl is. And I know that we're in a partnership of some sort with you guys. But what else makes Wicked different? I also think, I mean, costumes, I feel like there's a lot of detail paid to attention.
Well, there is. There's, besides, you know, starting out with a good foundation, which is a good script, we have some of the best directors working for us: Brad Armstrong, Stormy Daniels, Michael Raven, Jonathan Morgan. We have some great, talented people there who do care about the details, that make sure that, you know, if you're doing a movie that's supposed to take place in the 1800s, that there's not an airplane flying by in the background, or that all of it makes sense all the way through the whole thing. It's all the details. And that's one of the things we really like about Stormy, is she does pay attention to the details.
Well, yeah, I'm excited to talk to her about a lot of this, because I was reading her chapter as well and realizing it's interesting. When Playgirls first started doing videos, they showed it to women and asked women what they thought. And women were like, why are her nails that color? Or why is she wearing those shoes? And it's things that you're not necessarily thinking about, or those are really, you know, cheap jewelry, change the necklace. And it's like, wow, this is what women, I'm very observant. I'm paying attention to the most minute of details.
That's right. I mean, where did that glass of wine come from? That wasn't there a minute ago. And it's just those little things that it's annoying. It's irritating when you're not paying attention to those details. And it throws me off. I watch the movies very specifically for those continuity issues, because it is distracting when somebody's sitting down to be entertained, even though the sex may not be on yet. You want to feel like a part of the story, like you're interested, that it is entertaining. It's adult entertainment. It's not just always about the sex.
So with that in mind, how much of an adult movie is actually sex and how much is dialogue? And I know that's obviously not, it's different for every movie, but.
It is, but if you had a 90-minute movie, probably 30 minutes of dialogue.
Okay, so you have a good amount of story and dialogue. Now, you helped really, Carly was saying this, you really helped change the idea of PR in this industry with Jenna Jameson and helping skyrocket her career to a mainstream level. What were some and are some of the negative stereotypes that you think the media still, the mainstream media still has around porn?
Well, I think, well, especially back then, because it was 1995 that we started. But back then, and even before that, I think everybody thought the mafia was involved in the adult entertainment industry. And if you were in the business, and especially if you were a business owner, and if you were any high-level executive position, you were involved in the mafia. And everybody just made that assumption. And I think it's still out there in some places. I just saw a show the other day. I'm not even going to name it because I was so annoyed. Where they were indicating that same type of thing, that oh, they're involved in the mafia and they're porno and blah, blah. And I was like, what are you talking about? There was a time a long time ago when that may have been true, but the profit margins are way too small for the mafia to worry about the adult entertainment industry.
It's very true. Well, there's that book, too, Reefer Madness, that came out that was really like kind of helped people think that the industry was some sort of background for government money.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Not that it hasn't been connected at some level, but this was so long ago that it's a myth.
How have you seen women's roles change in the adult industry in the last 20 years?
Oh my gosh, a lot. 20 years is a long time to be around. And when I first started, there were no women owners, not really to speak of. And most women showed up, did what they were told, and then went home. And I think Steve Ornstein, who owns Wicked Pictures, definitely had a lot more respect for women. And from the very beginning, was more interested in letting the women have a bigger role and letting them choose the partners that they were working with and choose the scripts that they were doing and choose help actually cast the movies so that they were comfortable and that it was just a better process all the way around. And I think that there are a lot of other companies who have taken that lead in sort of allowing women not to just be, as Carly mentioned, eye candy, but actually be a part of the whole creative process.
What has working in the adult industry taught you?
Mostly about sexuality and about the human sexual creature that we are all sexual by nature. It's not something that's bad, and it's a drag that society sort of puts these restrictions on people and their sexuality. It's a bummer, but it's been very liberating.
If you could change one thing about the adult industry, would there be something that really nags at you?
The thing is, are there some negative things that happen in the industry? Absolutely. But if I was to say, oh, I don't think that people should do that anymore, I'm as bad as the people that want to put us out of business. And I can't uphold any censorship whatsoever. If people should be doing what they want to do, and if they want to do something I don't like, then that's certainly their right to do it.
That's a really good answer.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joy King.
You got it.
We're going to move right along here and talk with Stormy. You may also know her as Stormy Daniels or Stormy Weather. StormyDaniels.com is her website. And she is, as Carly said, a contract star for Wicked, but also a contract writer and director. Now, you write in your chapter in Naked Ambition about that you were first a consumer of porn. What types of porn do you like to watch?
I always kind of watch the couples porn, and I think that in the beginning it was just purely by accident. It was one of those things where my boyfriend was a little older and he probably swiped it from his older sister. As a matter of fact, I know that's where he got it from, and she, being a woman, of course, had the couples porn, or the pretty porn, as some people say, and he brought it over, like, I'm sure with the intention of surely turning on his girlfriend so that he could get some. And he was, I remember him like trying to paw at me, and I was like, wait, I want to know what happens next. And then I was just so fascinated that I actually think it backfired and he didn't get any that first time. But I quickly became very, very enthralled in the whole process, and these women who were beautiful. And like I said, my first introduction to porn was, you know, Vivitz and the Wickets and the VCA and thing like that, where the women looked like they were having such fun and they weren't being degraded and they were open and sexual and they were doing all the things that I had secretly thought about in my head, but maybe thought, you know, were bad or whatever. And that's how I first got into it. And then as soon as I was 18, you better believe I was at the store by myself. I didn't need him anymore. And I gravitated toward the Wicket boxes. It was purely the box cover alone that drew it to me. The girls were pretty and they were doing things that I wanted to do. And they were wearing outfits that I wanted to wear. And I watched all the movies and I quickly learned that Wicked had the best production value and the best stories. And I started, you know, collecting my movies. And I do remember the very first DVD that I actually bought and didn't rent that made me go, I really want to do this. And it was Wicked Pictures' Dream Quest.
That's so interesting because, you know, you're not thinking at 18 that you're going to wind up being at Wicked Pictures, you know, yeah. At least not at first.
No.
And all of a sudden, there you are in basically your dream job.
Right. I didn't even know that contract stars existed. I didn't even know that Wicked had contract girls until I was already working for them. I didn't even know. Like, I didn't read AVN and I didn't follow porn. I just simply walked into video stores and picked up the box covers that I liked.
Well, what is a contract girl? Because you are a contract girl for Wicked.
Right. That means that I perform exclusively in Wicked product. They sign all the companies that have contract girls have varying lease. Usually it's anywhere from a year to 5 years. And I perform only for Wicked.
I want to go back to something you said earlier in your answer for the first question. You were talking about how maybe watching adult entertainment, watching adult videos really made you realize like, oh, I'm not so wrong for thinking about that, or that doesn't make me, you know, disgusting or whatever
right.
We grow up believing. And I've always had this argument with people because I would like porn to be sex education because that is where so many of, you know, young consumers get their sex education and their ability to understand, you know, that they're normal for whatever it is
right.
they do. Now, as a director, is that something that you think about while you're writing or as a writer, you know, your
yes,
scripts?
Yes, definitely. I am, as a woman, there are things that I have made it a strict point in every one of my movies to try to really look at it from a woman, like a real woman, not someone who is very open-minded or maybe a stripper or whatever. No, very, very real women. And for example, like a lot of people knock on movies that have condoms. I'm sorry, but people in the real world use condoms. And if I have a kid, one day they are going to find porn. It's inevitable. And I would rather them watch a movie that had a condom in it than a movie that didn't, because maybe they'll be like, oh, condoms aren't bad. And then sometimes one of the arguments is, well, why do the condoms just magically appear? So I've made a point in my last two movies for the girl to go, wait, and open the drawer and take it out and open it and put it on the guy. Because I just recently put a condom on a guy for the first time. Usually they've done it. I didn't know what I was doing. Those things are tricky.
Yeah, you have to hold the tip and
right,
roll
and
it down.
I left the awkwardness in the movie because, you know, I want women to see it's not that easy and this is how you do it. And then another example of that is I know that a lot of men are intimidated by vibrators. And in the movie I just shot, when he's going down on his wife in the movie, he says, "Ooh, I know what you like." And he opens the drawer and takes out a vibrator and they incorporate it into their sex scene. And real people do that, and I wanted to show in a couple's movie that that's, if your wife wants to do that, then it's cool and it can be fun. And I try to do that in every one of my movies.
That's awesome. Is there anything that you won't do in any of your movies?
I mean, of course, all the typical stuff, like nothing that has to do with, you know, children or anything that's illegal.
Right,
or,
right.
But no, I think to each their own. I'm willing to try anything, you know,
How did you go from being a performer to also a writer and director?
I was always a bit of a writer. Like, I had published short stories and things like that when I was still in high school. And I always liked to write, and I used to write plays I remember trying to put on a play when I was, like, 6 or 7, and I made all the neighborhood kids, like, try to do a play. And I think that's where it started. And how I actually wrote my first script was I was living with someone at the time who writes scripts for Wicked, Brad Armstrong, and he's actually very talented. And I would watch him write, and I would read his scripts, and I'd be like, ooh, he could have done this instead, or ooh, he could have done this. And I told him I wanted to write a script, that I had some stories in mind. And he was like, okay, he kind of didn't really even know that I could do that. And I wrote a script, and he was impressed, and I got the pat on the head, and he gave it to the owner of the company, and they didn't tell him that I had written it, because I wanted an honest opinion. And they really liked it. And after a year of him directing my scripts, I think he directed seven out of his 10 movies that year were my scripts.
Oh, wow.
And he's an excellent director, probably the most talented director in the business, because he can do everything. It was still like I would be on set and I'd be like, this isn't how I imagined it. Not that it was wrong. It just wasn't how I imagined it. And I was like, I want to know if I can make it look exactly on camera how it looks in my head. And I was very fortunate that I work for a company whose owner is into letting the women make so many choices, like Joy said, and have control. Because I can't imagine being at another company and walking in and telling the owner, yeah, I've only been here a year and I'm a girl and I've never directed a movie before and I want to take this, you know, 40-page script and direct it. Okay?
Do you think most of the companies wouldn't be willing to give, like, that type of shot?
I don't think so. Honestly, I don't think so. And at least they'd be extremely hesitant and put a lot of restrictions on me. And the owner actually, even Wicked's owner, Steve, was like, do you want to have one of the other directors on set, you know, be an assistant director? And I said, absolutely not. Because I want the people to listen to me, and I don't ever want it to come. Because I was like, this movie's going to be so good when it comes out. I don't want them to be, oh, it's because Brad Armstrong or Jonathan Morgan was on set with her. And she probably really wasn't directing. They're just using her name. And I never wanted to give reviewers or people an opportunity to say that.
Good for you. That's awesome. So you write this in your chapter that there's a difference between men watching porn and women watching porn.
That is a generalized statement, and I know that there are exceptions to the rule. But just how Joy was saying, that glass of wine appeared, a lot of men would be like, there's a glass of wine, all I saw was a vagina. You know what I mean? And it's not knocking men, it's just men and women are wired differently, and one's not right and one's not wrong. But I want both to be able to enjoy my movies. And I think that women enjoy watching people have sex as much as men, but they want to know why. And a guy can just pop in a movie, fast forward to a sex scene, and they could be doing the most outrageous, crazy thing ever, and they would be like, this is great. A woman would be like, why is he having sex with the maid on the, you know what I mean? Like, why? And as long as I give them a good explanation, and not the cheesy, the pizza guy came to the door, and oops, I didn't have enough money for a tip, because any woman watching that will go, I would never do that. But if the storyline truly makes sense, and there aren't, you know, stupid question, unanswered questions or holes in the storyline, you can get a woman to digest just about any sort of what most people would consider outrageous behavior if they're given a reason why. And if they go, oh, okay, now I understand why she has two penises in her bottom. Now I understand. Then it's just, I think that they can get into the fantasy of it a little more. They need a little more help, I think, getting into the fantasy.
You rock. I think I'm your number one fan. In 2004, you won Best New Starlet at the AVN Awards. Yes. What does that mean?
I like to think of it as exactly what it is, Best New Star, not necessarily performer. The women that win Performer of the Year are true sexual athletes. I try just as hard in my scenes and this and that, but there I make, you know, a set Wicked, because their budgets are so huge, you know, we make four movies a month, Wicked, which means I might be in three, I might be in one of those, if even that. And there are women that make five or six movies a week, and they are the true, like, athletes. But I would like to think that the title Best New Starlet is all encompassing, because it's star. And I wrote, I directed, I performed in the movies, I appeared in magazine layouts. I did the HBO series. I, you know, won awards for Exotic Dancer for entertaining guys in clubs. So I like to think that it's an all-encompassing award, and that I won because I took in consideration all the other aspects that I was trying to hit, and that I really truly was trying to make a difference.
No, that's awesome. Seriously, if I'm following you around for the next two nights, just ignore me here in New York. What advice do you have for women that want to enter this industry?
I would say, you know, do your homework just like anything else. There are so, even when I remember before I got into the industry, and I'm not trying to scare anyone, I don't know how many guys gave me cards and said that they worked for Playboy, and they didn't. I mean, that's the oldest game in the book. I'm going to print up a card that says I am a photographer for Penthouse and get girls to come audition at my house. And it's not nearly as bad as mainstream. I think the whole casting couch thing is, I've never encountered it in the legitimate side of the adult business. Now, before I even went to LA, I found lots of guys who claimed to be in the industry and they weren't. If someone actually asks you to audition for a part, they probably aren't legit. It's not like mainstream. The whole casting couch thing is rampant in mainstream. I know that for a fact.
And you've crossed over. You're in yeah. the 40-year virgin, right?
Yeah. So I know firsthand how some of the mainstream people can be. And do your homework and be safe and really ask a lot of questions and don't do anything you're not comfortable doing. And it's like I said, it's very tricky to weed out who's legit and who's not.
It's so true. I'm going to ask you another question that I asked Joy, but how does this industry treat men and women differently? At least I think I asked you that. Sort of.
Luckily for me, I've only been in the industry for 3 years. I don't have nearly the experience that Joy has. And I never had, because I work for Wicked, who has always allowed women to make, I was never really, you know, confronted with the, oh, you're just a girl and you can't make, I've always been very much in control of my decisions. And maybe that's because I'm not afraid to tell people to go, you know. I don't know what I can say. I don't know.
You can say anything.
You know,
but
I'm not afraid to say, fuck you, I'm going home. But I think a lot of young girls might be. And I never really was confronted with it, but I have seen it in action. And I think that I actually say this in my piece. I want to be not considered a good female director. I don't think it should matter. Like, I'm not a feminist, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, but I just want to be good at what I do. And because of people like Joy and you know, Hartley and people who have been around a long time, it's definitely a lot easier for me than it is for other people. And I just hope that I can continue to make that easier.
It sounds like you will. Oh my God. This book obviously rocks. You can hear just by the three women that are in here today. Naked Ambition. You can pick it up on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, at your local bookstore. And if you're in the New York City area, tomorrow night there is a reading at the Virgin Megastore Union Square, Tuesday, November 1st, from 6 to 8 p.m. Ladies, thank you so much for being here, really. This is Playgirls Sex Pod. I'm Jamie Waxman. Come again and again and, oh yeah, one more time. Again.